You are about to enter another dimension. A dimension not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land of imagination. Next stop, the Twilight Zone.
In a department store, a young lady wearing a white embroidered blouse and a black knee-length skirt walks through the home furnishings department.
May I show you something?
No, that's not what I'm looking for.
She walks away and continues strolling through the store. Walking past display cases of assorted items, looking briefly at some, she stops and opens a small jewelry box, but then closes it. She walks over to a bank of elevators, joining a half dozen or so customers who are waiting for an elevator as it descends to this floor. Meanwhile, the doors open at the next elevator to the right.
Going up, ma'am.
The other customers continue to wait, but she goes over to the elevator on the right.
Housewares?
Would be the mezzanine, ma'am.
Turning to face her.
What in particular were you looking for?
Thimbles. Gold thimbles. You had them advertised.
That would be specialties, ma'am. The ninth floor.
The elevator doors close. The elevator dial shows numbers going up only to 8.
I'm not accustomed to such service.
Ma'am?
Well, there were a whole lot of people waiting for the elevator. I seem to have a private one.
Smiling.
Well, this is an express elevator, ma'am. To the ninth floor. The others are all locals this time of day.
She glares at him.
Express elevator to the ninth floor of a department store. Carrying Miss Marcia White on a most prosaic, ordinary, run-of-the-mill errand.
The dial advances past 8.
Ninth floor.
She enters a large, darkened room with no merchandise on display.
There must be some mistake. There's nothing here.
The doors close. The dial retreats through the lower floors.
Miss Marcia White on the ninth floor. Specialties department looking for a gold thimble. The odds are that she'll find it. But there are even better odds that you'll find something else. Because this isn't just a department store. This happens to be the Twilight Zone.
She walks across the floor, past rows of empty display cases.
Was someone helping you?
Asks a silhouetted woman, who steps into view across the counter from Marcia, wearing a stylish outfit.
Can I show you something?
Why, yes. I was looking for a gold thimble, a gift from my mother.
A gold thimble? I think we have something you'd like. This way, please.
She walks around from behind the counter. The two women briefly stare at each other. The sales lady walks behind a display case containing a single item. She turns on the light.
How about this?
She takes out a small jewelry box containing the thimble and hands it to Marcia.
It's 14 karat gold and quite distinctive looking, I think. Don't you?
Well, yes. Yes, I think this will do.
This is a charge. Is this a charge, miss?
I beg your pardon, a charge? No, I'll pay for it.
You want it gift wrapped?
Yes, please. No, on second thought, I'll wrap it myself.
Miss, that's $22.80 plus tax. $25 even.
Marcia reaches into her handbag and takes out a small purse. She leaves the cash and walks off.
Now, that's odd. What is Marcia?
Well, you haven't any merchandise here at all. Except the thimble. Except the very thing I needed. Oh, the whole floor, it looks so empty. You called me Marcia.
Did I? I'm sorry. That was forward of me. I apologize.
How did you know my name?
I've probably seen you around the store.
No, you haven't. I've never seen you. Now, look, I don't want to make a big thing out of this, but what kind of a place is this? I mean, all I want is one small item, a gold thimble. I come up on a floor that hasn't a single thing in evidence except what I'm looking for. Well, you may be a little more sophisticated than I am, but this I call odd.
Please come again.
Turning towards Marcia.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Miss White?
Marcia stops and turns.
Are you happy?
I beg your pardon. Am I what? Am I happy? Well, you'll forgive me, but that's really none of your business.
Really? It's none of my business.
Continuing to stare at her with a thin smile.
All right, Miss White, suit yourself. It's none of my business.
Going down.
Marcia heads toward the elevator. Marcia takes one last look back as she enters the elevator and goes to the back. The elevator descends.
Well, did you find what you were looking for?
As a matter of fact, I did. Also, as a matter of fact, it was the only thing for sale on that floor. Somebody ought to latch onto an efficiency expert or something. One entire floor devoted to the sale of a single gold thimble. An extremely oddball sales lady somebody ought to look into.
She opens the jewelry box and takes out the thimble.
This is scratched. Well, I didn't notice that before.
Stepping up to him from behind.
I can't send this to my mother. It's scratched and it's dented, too. Look here.
Complaints, third floor.
Look at this thing! It's scratched and it looks as if somebody stepped on it or something.
He continues to face forward, away from her.
Third floor, complaints.
She steps out and looks back at him. A door labeled Mr. Sloan, Manager. In the office, one man sits behind a desk while the other stands.
Well, I distinctly told her that all the gold thimbles we have are in gifts, and that if the item were damaged, well, we certainly would make it good, either by replacement or refund. Oh, I distinctly told her that, Mr. Sloan.
Then what is the problem, Mr. Armbruster?
Well, the problem is that the customer claims that she didn't get the item in gifts. She got it in another department.
Mr. Armbruster. Just tell her to take it back to the department where she purchased the item.
Well, that's just the point. She has some idiotic story about having purchased a gold thimble on the ninth floor.
Sloan glares at him.
Ninth floor. Mr. Armbruster.
Standing up.
I trust you inform the lady that this store has no ninth floor.
Mr. Sloan, believe me, sir, I have tried desperately, I really mean desperately, to acquaint her with this fact, but she still insists that she was taken to the ninth floor and waited on by a rather odd woman. An odd woman, yet. A personality trait that she would be particularly knowledgeable about. Well, anyway, this woman who allegedly waited on her...
Never mind, Armbruster. I'll talk to her.
Yes. Well, she's waiting right outside, sir.
They go out of Sloan's office.
Miss White, this is our manager, Mr. Sloan.
Perhaps I can help you, Miss White.
Perhaps you can. This thimble, it's dented and scratched.
Oh, it most assuredly is. Now, why don't you take it back to the gift department and...
Mr. Sloan, I just explained to Mr. Armbruster here I did not purchase this in the gift department. I was taken up to the ninth floor.
That's what makes it so difficult to understand. You see, we don't have a ninth floor.
I was taken to the ninth floor. I was waited on by a very odd woman. I paid cash.
Your receipt?
My receipt? I didn't get a receipt, but I paid cash.
Sloan smiles and nods his head.
Look, I gave her a $20 bill and a $5 bill. She gave me this thimble and I... Well, there she is. There's a woman who waited on me, miss.
Recognizing the back of the dress that the sales lady wore.
Miss, I wonder if you'd...
The store clerk goes over to what is, in fact, a mannequin and turns it around to face Marcia. Marcia's eyes widen and she holds her hands over her face. As the mannequin is marched down the aisle. The mannequin stands still as another clerk approaches Armbruster.
Well, how is she?
Oh, she'll be all right, Mr. Armbruster. She was just frightened, that's all.
Well, what about this delusion of hers?
I don't know. I didn't talk to her. But she's resting now. I think maybe even gone to sleep.
Well, tell her we're closing up now. Tell her to come back tomorrow and we'll get her a replacement on her merchandise or a refund or anything else she wants.
To another clerk.
Miss Pettigrew, we're closing up now. What I'd like to give her is a bus ticket. A one-way bus ticket to any department store west of Cleveland. Preferably Chicago or Los Angeles or Honolulu. Miss Pettigrew, did you hear me? We're closing up now.
Miss Keevers. You have a customer. Hurry, please.
All right, I'm coming.
A clock reads 6 o'clock. And now, another clock. 6:30. Marcia lies asleep on a couch. She opens her eyes, looks around, jumps to her feet, gets up, walks out, into the floor of home furnishings. The floor is dark, except for the light from table lamps on display. She turns towards a mirror, looking at herself. She backs away from the mirror. Slowly steps down the floor. Turns a corner and heads for the elevator. The dial is stationary. She heads over to the next elevator to the right. Its dial, too, is stationary. Over to the left, the stairway. The doors are locked. She leans on the doors.
Somebody? Please? I'm locked in here. Anyone? I need some help. Anyone? Please?
She runs back across the sales floor, stops at a junction, and tries a different aisle. Then dashes toward the dressing rooms. She breaks into tears. Back to the junction. As she walks, a female mannequin holding a handbag towers over her and starts to rock back and forth. She spins toward the mannequin. Backing away, she stumbles into a male mannequin in a sailor suit and knocks it over. He lies on the floor. She backs away from the fallen sailor. Turns and runs toward a pair of female mannequins on pedestals, clothed in full-length dresses. Spins around to face away from them.
Marcia.
She turns toward another female in a necklace and low-cut strapless gown.
Marcia.
Then turns toward another, wearing a string of pearls.
Marcia.
A smiling male in a plaid flannel jacket over a turtleneck.
Marcia.
Another female with several bejeweled necklaces.
Marcia.
A male in an open sweater over a buttoned shirt. One by one, the mannequins face her.
Who do you think you're fooling, Marcia?
Come on, dear.
Marcia lowers her head.
Climb off it.
And folds her hands on her head.
You remember, Marcia.
You know who you are.
Now she raises her head. And her hands cover her mouth. She runs towards a telephone on a table. She slams the headset on the table. Presses her hand down on the phone. Then slowly walks along the table, approaching the male in the plaid flannel jacket.
Marcia.
One by one, they confront her.
You remember Marcia.
Climb off it. Come on, dear. Marcia.
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 Come on,
we
dear.
Know
Marcia.
You climb remember off. Marcia.
Marcia. Marcia.
She backs up. And the doors open behind her into the elevator.
Marcia.
They close. And the elevator takes her up. To the ninth floor, where appears the mannequin of the sales lady. Marcia collapses into the back corner of the elevator. The sales lady steps toward her.
Well, Marcia, dear.
Bending down.
You'll forgive an observation, but you're acting like a silly child. Come now, Marcia.
Lifting her to her feet. Marcia embraces her. The sales lady backs up out of the elevator and leads Marcia out into the dark, empty sales floor. Puts her arm around her. As they walk together in the darkness, assorted mannequins step off their pedestals and follow them. They all proceed across to the far end of the floor. The sailor joins in the procession, now surrounding Marcia and the sales lady. Marcia slowly looks around at the smiling, well-dressed figures. She turns to face a man in a silver jacket and black bow tie, next to a man in a sweater and ski mask, next to a man holding a pair of skis. Marcia turns again to the sales lady.
Think now. Concentrate. Remember now? All of us will try and help you.
Standing next to them, the sailor, who resembles the elevator operator.
We'll help you concentrate. Remember now? Coming back to you?
That's odd. It's really odd, but suddenly I seem to...
Remember. Coming back now, is it?
I'm a mannequin. That's what I am. I'm a mannequin. And it was my turn to...
Your turn to leave us for a month. Becoming much clearer now, isn't it? You left us for a month, and you lived with the outsiders. But you were due back yesterday, and you didn't show up. You know, Marcia, that's very selfish, my dear. All of us wait our turn, and we simply do not overstay it. Oh. It was my turn starting last night. I'm one day delayed already.
Of course. Of course, I'm sorry. I forgot. When you're on the outside, everything seems so normal. As if...
As if what, Marcia?
As if we were like the others. Like the outsiders. Like the real people.
Well, no serious harm done.
Putting her arm around her.
I'll see you all in a month.
They crowd around her.
Take good care of yourselves.
And follow her toward the elevator. In the elevator, she turns back to face them and raises both her arms high. Marcia remains behind with the sailor. He smiles and approaches her.
You enjoy yourself, Marcia? Was it fun?
Ever so much fun.
She raises her hands and poses them at waist level.
Ever so much fun.
And she freezes into position. The next morning, shoppers walk past the sailor.
Good morning, dear. We're expecting $100 out of you today.
Aunt Brewster chats with the sales clerks.
Keep your powder dry, darling.
She lifts a powder puff, and he dips his finger in.
Well, it'll sell.
He continues along. To a group of three sales clerks.
Here, break it up, back to your post, girls. It's 9 o'clock.
Really?
He walks past Marcia's pedestal, stops in his tracks, furrows his brow, turns to look at her, does a double take with eyes widened, shrugs, and walks along.
Marcia White, in her normal and natural state. A wooden lady with a painted face, who, 1 month out of the year, takes on the characteristics of someone as normal and as flesh and blood as you and I. But it makes you wonder, doesn't it? Just how normal are we? Just who are the people we nod our hellos to as we pass on the street? A rather good question to ask, particularly in the Twilight Zone.
Credits. Directed by Douglas Hayes. Written and narrated by Rod Serling. Produced by Buck Houghton. Executive producer for Cayuga Productions, Rod Serling. Starring Anne Francis, with Elizabeth Allen and James Mulholland, John Conwell, Patrick White, Nancy Rennick. Director of Photography, George T. Clemens. Production Manager, Ralph W. Nelson. Art Directors, George W. Davis, Merrill Pye. Assistant Director, Don Kloon. Film Editor, Bill Mosher. Set Decorations, Henry Grace, Keo Gleason. Sound, Frank Milton, Philip Mitchell. Makeup, William Tuttle. Copyright 1960 by Cayuga Productions, Inc. Filmed at Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Studios. Audio description by Lou Lasher.